Good morning. I lead a ministry called the Singles Network Ministries, and I got my start was, I was in lay ministry like all of you guys, unless anybody here is on staff. Anybody a pastor or a singles director? Okay. See, Sunday school teacher, okay. Well, I started off, I taught Sunday school, greeted, hello y'all, come on in, fed people, thank God for food. I have done everything you can think of in the singles ministry, and I have started at the bottom. I've worked my way up a couple of times, because obviously I didn't learn about humility, and I got real prideful, thought I was the head cheese, the head queen, and in ministry, and then God said no and made me learn some few more things. And but all in all, I just had this passion for single adult ministry. I had a passion for single adults. I'm a single adult, never been married. I can't explain it. And so as God continued to grow my heart in that area, and I continued to talk to single adults, people said, why aren't you married? I go, well, there's a lot of answers prior to that question. I said, but one is, I'm very content being single. God's called me to be single until He moves me somewhere else. And somebody needs to stay single for all the single adults. Now, that sounds kind of maybe hokey, but I'm going to tell you what, your testimony is very powerful when you are single, like Ron Hill last night. He's a single adult. That's a powerful testimony of him up there talking. And he looks content, and he looks, Harold Ivan Smith, a single adult, again, understands where single adults are. Now, some of you may be married in here, and you're exploring the different avenues of single adult ministry to help. I have lots of friends that are married that are called to serve in single adult ministry, and I'm very thankful for them. But I think some of us need heroes, need people who maybe look like they know what they're doing, or at least can come alongside and encourage those who are struggling with their singleness, who don't want to be single. I've heard everything in the world. People give me reasons why they're where they're at and what's going on in their life, and I have yet to meet one single, well, let me change that, maybe one out of 100 that will tell me, I don't want to ever be married. Everywhere I go, they'll say, well, I don't want to be married today, or not tomorrow, but boy, I'd love to find someone. Everybody wants to be loved, right? As Ron said, everybody wants to be loved. And so I find that everywhere I go, and I just, my heart breaks, because in the search of finding the one for them, they miss the one. And so as leaders, you have great influence on what you're about to embark on. You have influence in order to change lives that you never even imagined. I find a single adult ministry, you can have all the money in the world, or not even a dollar. You can have all the programming in the world, or just show up at my house and let's have dinner. But you love on them and care for them, they'll follow you anywhere. They just want someone to understand where they're at. Not always have all the solutions, but just be a little excited and a little bit encouraging to them. And it'll grow a ministry. So before we get into all the handout, I want you to turn to somebody you maybe don't know. We come to this conference and we really want to encourage people to go sit people they don't know, but we always have tendency to sit people we do know, right? But I want you to think about the candle that you're holding, and I want you to talk about, just turn to one other person, talk about, or three, if we have an odd number, what is a candle? You know, what does a candle have meaning to you? Candles are used for everything you can think of. So when you hold a candle or think of a candle in your life, what does it mean to you? Go ahead. Introduce yourself, where you're from. Maybe get up and find somebody you don't know. You can do groups of threes if you need groups of threes.
Thank you.
For you later to be able to find each other and talk about where you're at. I'm going to turn this thing back on. One of the things, the reason why the name of the ministry is called the Singles Network is the idea of networking. We need each other. We need the support. In the back, in the beginning, when I started, there were no resources. There's nothing. I mean, there was like a few people had written some books, but I didn't know where they were. There was no internet, you know, so you just kind of talk to people. And I did so much research, and I just kept calling people, how do you do this? How do you do that? And it was so difficult back in the old days that they based the structure based on just regular church growth. They really didn't understand the needs of single adults. They just kind of put us on one big pot and stirred and just said, well, obviously, you're all single. Right? You know, and I go, oh, really? You know, and it's just, and my cry meant nothing because I was like 24 or 25 years old. They don't listen to me. So I got a little bit older and I tried again and it got a little bit better. It really wasn't until I got into my probably mid-30s that people began to listen to me. And so, well, maybe there is something to this. And now sometimes I get people and they feel sorry for you. Like, oh, you're not married. Oh. You know, so like, is there any age in my singleness when I was okay? You know, I'm just kind of curious. But the Singles Network started off being, you know, it was just something that I did on the side. I had a full-time advertising job and had my own business. And people would call up and go, well, I heard you started this over here. Would you come help us? I was like, well, I guess, sure. Well, I heard you taught this Bible study. Will you come teach one for us? Like, well, I guess. And all of a sudden, I'm doing all this stuff in Raleigh, and churches are beginning to network. And I had originally worked for Campus Crusade, and this ministry was under Campus Crusade. It was just called the Singles Network, and it was designed to build leaders, designed to network churches and offer resources. But the pastor who led it, he never really got it off the ground. He put on a once-a-month gathering, and that were his goals of networking the city. But for whatever reason, it was not meant to be for him. I took it over, and then I'm really the fruit of his vision. What was amazing is I started getting phone calls in Greensboro, then South Carolina, then Richmond, Virginia. And I said, there's a need for this. And I found out in the last 3.5 years that nobody is doing what I'm doing. There's such a need to network churches. There's such a need to develop leadership development materials. There's such a need to feel encouraged and empowered. So I have the biggest website you will ever see with every conceivable resource that you could ever imagine to help you start and grow your ministries. Everything from how to start, which is a little guide that I have on there. You've got some of it here today. Hello, Brenda.
Hey, excuse me for interrupting.
Thank you.
Care of our folks. So.
Appreciate it. I'm cool, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Would you do that? Just if you could. Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna edit that one. Yes.
Can I just interject? One of the things that to me that's really ironic is, you know, people, we singles want to be married, but if you figure 50% of the marriages end in divorce, and half of the marriages that don't end in divorce are not happy,
right,
fulfilling marriages. What?
Well, that's called preventative maintenance. What I find is that I'm a big advocate of divorce care, divorce recovery. If we didn't have this in the country, I don't know where people would be. My mother wished she had it 20 years ago, or actually 29 years ago. But what I find is there's no preventative maintenance. Who's teaching young adults how to have relationships, how to have friendships, how to get along with their boss, how to get along with their siblings? So because that's the pattern or the basis of how we have then have a relationship with the opposite sex to be married. If you can't have it before you get married, how do you have it when you're married? But nobody's teaching them that. And so that's why I did a Bible study. I did this little Bible study with Dick Purnell. I don't know if you have heard of Dick Purnell. Dick's written a bunch of books for single adults. That just my heart was breaking because I'm seeing that nobody's teaching anybody about how to deal with conflict, how to deal with having peace or reconciliation. All this junk that at 42, I've had to deal with all this junk. And I go, all this continues to help me and grows me. But would I really be able to handle a marriage? Because I'm going to tell you what, the longer you're single, the longer you get a little set in your ways. And the good way to find out is if you've lived alone for a long time, get a roommate. You find out how much you value things and how much you have to let things go. And it's taught me a lot about if I would be ready for marriage. So I think about a lot of young adults and what are we doing to help them prepare so that our marriages do stay strong. If 99.9% of every young adult wants to be married, then what are we doing to help them make sure their marriage works? So anyway, that's like a whole other workshop in it in a way. But we may get back to that. We're going to move on a little bit. Hello, welcome. Come on in. But anyway, the ministry kept growing, and then all of a sudden God said to start to go full-time, and that's what I did. 3.5 years ago, I closed down my advertising business. I stepped out on faith, asked some people to write me a check to help me, and some did, and some went, what? And I said, exactly, God. And I said to God, but I'm a woman, uh-huh. I said, but I'm not young anymore, uh-huh. And I don't look like Barbie anymore. And he goes, you never did? And I said, and I don't have a seminary degree. Recently, I was reminded by Billy Graham's cousin, who is the pastor over at the Cove, and he said, neither did Billy. He says, do not let anyone tell you what I've called you to do and change your mind. If you're here because you feel called to do something, you don't know what. Maybe it is divorce care that you need to start because that's where you're at. Maybe it is preventative maintenance. You want to do some relationship building with these young people, and that's all it is. I just want to grab, I can just mentor one girl and not have her go through what I've been through. You know, maybe it is Sunday school. Maybe it's growing your Sunday school because it's been in the same place for years and the same people, and they're just not going anywhere with their lives. And it's that same guy that just stands like this all day, and there's that same girl, like, you know, and they're not growing in their walk. You don't see any change. I don't know why you're here. Lots of different reasons, but God has called you to something fantastic. Half our country is single. The number is not going down. It's going to continue to go up because divorce is going to go up because we're all self-focused. A lot of people are just not getting married. What for? I mean, what's the purpose of marriage? I mean, you can just live with somebody, have a baby and everything now. And nobody looks down on you. Nobody shames you. I mean, 20 years ago, goodness gracious. Can't imagine. But nowadays, it's just like, oh, well, at least you didn't marry that loser that she got pregnant by. And that's more the look that it is, you know. Because I married my loser. And y'all three are a representation of it. You know, you're like, hey, thanks a lot, Mom. I think, you know. And so you're like, as a parent, a lot of times I find, it's like, well, at least, you know, she didn't make the mistake I did because I did get married and I wasn't happy. But is that the answer? So it's going to get worse, or the number's going to get higher, and not because singles are finding themselves right with God and feel complete as a single, I don't need to be married. I believe that God meant for most of us to be married. That's just the way I believe. But with what we see behind us and what we see today, it's a very discouraging. And a lot of single adults are going, I don't want to take a chance to see what my parents went through. Or I've already been married and I can't go there again. So then how do you live as a single adult? Because if most of us are called to be married, how do you live as a single adult? So part of what you're here for is to help them do that. It's not that you're going to know all the answers. It's not that you're not going to make mistakes and you're going to do things you shouldn't do. But you come alongside and you encourage and you help. And that's what someone did for me. I was reading on the elevator on my way up to my room the other day, and I had plaques all over the place. This plaque said, remember those who led you. remember those who led you, and then be the next leader for those that God has asked you to lead. And I'm so thankful for those who led me and encouraged me. I don't remember all their names, but I know there are many. And so hopefully, after this weekend, you'll go back and say, okay, Lord, what do I do? You just say, Lord, I don't know how to do it all. Yep, you're right, I'll equip you. I don't know who to talk to. Chris, help? I'll help you. I don't know what your resources. Go to the website. Tons. I have an unusual situation. I have unusual people. I'll help you the best I can. You take one step at a time. And ultimately, you pray. Pray, pray, pray. And then sometimes, in some of the marriage, you have to ask some to leave. And then sometimes you have to ask some to come to be a part of it. So let's just get into it. We'll skip through. I need a timer. I need 5 minutes before we end. Can somebody raise their hand and let me know we're 5 minutes to the end?
People let me help from the been there, done that,
uh-huh.
And that's what some of us can be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. There's a scripture, y'all, for some of you who have been married, there's a scripture, I know a lot of people use it, they use it in divorce care, where it says, you know, the fact that you've gone through that is how you help another brother or sister. I mean, that's singles ministry all around, you know. And so as their leader, you be able to come alongside of them and encourage and love on them. And I've even met married people who maybe have never been divorced, but yet understand pain and it's relative. They understand abandonment. They may have lost a child or they have children that are divorced. You know, what's a neat thing is I love to go to churches and get up and get everybody to stand up. And I did this at a church not too long ago, and it was really funny. And I said, everybody stand up. And I said, now, if you're 18 or under, I want you to sit down. So they all sat down. I said, now, if you're not married, because you can't say single, because you know them young ones go, right? I'm not married. I'm not single. I'm just not married. So you have to say not married. And the older ones go, oh, I'm a widow. I'm not single. Because in their mind, single means, you know, frolicking and fun. And I go, really? Okay, I'm frolicking, you know. And so you have to define it as not married. Because some of them can't figure that out, right? And then you have them sit down. And then you say, now, if you have a parent that's not married, sit down. If you have a child that's not married, sit down. If you have a sister, a brother, a cousin. And you go through the whole list. And then what you typically can do next is then say, now, anybody stand up that's ever worked in single adult ministry? Now, by this time, the whole church should have sat down. And then you'll get like 3 people that'll stand up. And that says, now, everybody's affected by singleness. But look at who the workers are. Big, gigantic difference, right? Well, I was at this one church, and I'd called everybody out, brother, cousin, neighbor. I mean, I listed every human on the earth, right? As one old lady wouldn't sit down. I was like, she's messing up my thing. She needs to sit down. I'm like, I'm just, you know how you go, you're used to the flow, and all of a sudden she just kind of interrupts. She's in the middle. I'm like, help me, Lord, help me. And I'm like, this church is like 800 people. Like, you know, you don't get to do too many pulpit talks as a woman, right? You got to get everyone you can, right? So I'm just like looking around. I finally said, I got down off the podium, went over to her. I said, Hi, my name is Chris. What's your name? And she said, Betty. I said, Betty, you don't know any single adults? You don't have a cousin, a neighbor, a nephew? Nobody's a single adult? She's like, I don't think so. And I said, well, guess what, Betty? My name is Chris. You know me? I'm a single adult, and I sit down. And what it was in her mind, that term made no sense. Because in her time, single adults were old maids and people who couldn't get a date and, you know, and men who lived with their mama still at 40 and, you know, and 50 and 60 and 80 and, you know what I'm saying? Like, that she, in her mind, there was a category, but she had no idea that they come in all different packages and all of life situations. So a big part of what we're going to be talking about is also education. Not just educating you, but educating the world about who we are and what we look like. And we're okay. And it doesn't catch. You know, singleness isn't a disease that you're going to get if you hang around us too long. You know, now some of you may think we have the better life. They say marriage and singleness is like flies on a screen door. Those on the inside want to get out and those on the outside want to get in. You know, and I've met a lot of married people. They go, oh, it must be nice to be single. You can do what you want, go where you want, spend your money how you want. I go, yeah. And then vice versa. You know, and I go, you know what? There's two sides to everything. And I said, marriage is very, very difficult, and it's a blessing from God. Singleness is difficult, and it's a blessing from God. You know, singleness is a calling. I mean, it really is a calling from God. It's a place where God has you in your life until He changes it. So what are you going to do while you're there? So part of you figuring out who you are is then how you're going to then teach how you are. Because if you're not where you need to be, it's really hard to lead others. So if you don't feel confident as a single, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking if you've got it all figured out. You just love being single. Because I'm trying to find one that's going to tell me, Chris, every night I thank the Lord that I'm single. Thank you, Lord, for being a single person. Because they say, well, if I say that, He might not let me get married. And that's not what that says to God. It says, God, I'm happy where I'm at until you call me somewhere else. How can you have a ministry to build single adults if everybody has the mentality that I'm only here for myself, I'm only here to find someone to get married? Singles ministry is not about getting people married. Now, if that's an avenue that happens, praise the Lord. If you meet your spouse at church, well, gosh, where would you want to meet him at? We don't have no date at our church. We let them meet down at the local bar. For churches say, oh, no, we don't want to be a meat market. Well, why not? Don't you want people to meet and fall in love? I mean, if the majority of people are called to be married, why don't you maybe set up or implement ways for people to connect, but in a healthy way that they get God first and then each other? Preventative maintenance. Teach them some Bible studies on how to walk with Christ and then ultimately walk as friends and siblings and work relationships. Teach them how to pay their bills and have a budget. Teach them about self-confidence. They got baggage, they've been hurt, they've had abortions, they've had divorce, abandonment issues, abuse. Help them get right so they can have these relationships. But what we do is that we don't do any of that part. And then we just see them getting married and they haven't done any of the things to help them get married. And then all we see is the end result and the problem. So the church says, I want nothing to do with it. And that's not the solution. So let's go into some of this and we'll get through the best we can. And you've got it all written here, you know. That kind of helps. So, you know, I went over some of the recent explosion in the number of single adults. If there's so many single adults, then why aren't there more in church? Well, one of the things I talked about was lack of education. A lot of pastors just don't know. They think there's no singles in their church. I cannot tell you how many pastors I've talked to. And they go, well, I think we have 5 or 6. They really don't know. The average church has about 30% single. Yes, and it's never married. It's divorced. It's widowed. It's college age. They're all single. They go, college kids aren't single. They are. You know, are they married? So is there something in between? You know, and that's separation, and that's a whole other issue. That's a hard issue in single adult ministry. What do we do with people who are separated? Where do we fit them? You know, so we can answer that if we have time later. Another one. Let's pass over that. We already said that one. Easier to do family-focused ministry. They do what they know. It's just easy. If you're a married guy and you got 3 little kids, you're going to do that ministry because that's what you feel comfortable with. And so they get, when people come up to them, it's usually someone that's been married before who comes up and says, I would want to start a singles ministry because I want to have something there for me because I remember what I went through in my divorce and I didn't have anybody. And I got married a second time because they didn't learn nothing the first time. And so I realize my heart breaks, and so the pastor looks at you more like you're something's wrong with you. Like Ron Hill talked about last night, about the woman who was divorced, and everybody looked down on her. There's still a lot of that stigma in the older churches with older adults that still look at a person who's divorced as something wrong with them. And they don't understand what Christ came for, and that forgiveness. And it's not always your choice. I'm thankful my mama divorced my dad. Thank you. Amen. If I would not be here today if it wasn't for my mother divorcing my father. Because she didn't marry a man who brought Jesus in our home. And as a result of his walk and her walk, I'm here today. So sometimes divorce to me is the best of the solution. Lack of singles pastors, leadership, and those with experience. Past failure of single adult ministry. The last time we had, they all just got married to each other. Uh-huh. Okay, you wanted them to stay single forever? You know, what people understand in single adult ministry is that healthy single adults get married, healthy single adults move into other parts of the church, and healthy single adults just move. And so there's a constant rotation. You've got to bring new people in, new leaders in, as those keep leaving. See, in marriage ministry, they're there. And even if they break up, even if a couple breaks up, one of them stays in the church and usually stays in the married class. connected. Pastors will say to me, "Yep, my senior pastor came to me and wanted to know how many was in our group this year." And I said, "Well, we got 100. He says, "That's what you had last year. You ain't grown?" He says, "Well, of that 100, 25 of them got married. And you have them now, an adult this, and this marriage one, and you've got, and 10 of them are now serving in different leadership roles in the church. And so actually, I've got 80 new people." But to a lot of churches, they just see that bottom line. They see numbers. They have no idea single adult ministry and what we do is so different than any other ministry in the church. So because of that pressure, a lot of churches will say, "You know what, it's just not grown any. It hasn't changed. So we're just not going to continue to put money into it. It's not really that important." Look at what last night Harold Evans Smith talked about that woman and her singleness and what she did. There's so many famous single adults. There's also a lot of famous single adults that are doing things not for God. There's a particular one that's on television, Ashley Paksha, very famous lady. And she has the power that they say she wanted to be president today, she could get to be a president. Look at the power this woman has as a single adult. But what is she using it for? So we have great power and great influence. But how are we going to use it? Reasons why single ministries fail. They try to imitate another church down the road. Not every church is called to have a single adult ministry, but every church is called to minister to single adults. Ministry to single adults is the pastor occasionally mentioning us in a sermon. What a concept. I used to sit in the front row of my church, just to make sure you remember. And then as I got into ministry, I'm a big greeter fanatic, so now I sit in the back because the ones come in late, you got to greet them on the way in, greet them on the way out, just in case you miss them on the way in. That's called ungreeting. It's a word I invented because, you know what I mean, you miss some come in or whatever. But then I used to put a sticky note on his pulpit that just said single. Because he's been married forever, he just forgets, put us in the list of, when he would talk about relationships or friendships, or he would talk about, the family, he'd forget, and our single adult families, our single parent families, and he would just remember, it would help him. Because I tell you what, the word is for everybody. But if you could just occasionally slide the word single in there somewhere, you'd be like, that's ministering to single adults. Ministering to single adults is those who need financial help. I think the single parents today are the orphans in the Bible. It talks about the widows and the orphans. I believe if a single parent needs their light bill paid every month till they're 90 because they have limited education and they have children and they're never going to be able to get out of the situation, more than likely because of their education and their limitability on their job. And I have churches that go, "Well, we helped for 3 months. That's enough." And I go, "Would she get a better job?" "No." And I said, "More likely she'll never make more than $7.50 an hour, but she's got 3 kids. Is it not the church's responsibility to help her indefinitely?" "Well, she's never going to learn." Is she being disrespectful? Is she being abusive? Is she out throwing the money into the lottery? I mean, have you seen any patterns?" "Well, no." That's ministering to a single adult. So you don't always have to have a ministry as long as the church is ministering to them and is aware of them and their needs. And is sensitive to it. Pastors and leaders get overworked, overcommitted. They try to do it all in 6 months. I can't tell you how many people that say, "We've got a vision for this big singles ministry in our church." Uh-huh. And they will literally put a big survey, get an announcement. They'll have a big, fun first event. Because it is based on social, right? All ministry is based on social. It works all the time. And they'll have this big thing. "We're going to have this a singles ministry, Chris. We've got a barbecue. We've got a band coming." And they'll get like 300 people come. They'll get like 300 people. And they're like, "I know these people came for a friend of Jesus. Got people living over here and over here. They just came. Our church's only got 100 people, man. 300 people for our singles thing. Oh, my God. Praise God." And they don't come back. I wonder why. Because it's built on the outside, it's built on the social, on the flesh. It's not built on a foundation that's solid. If that was Jesus, he would have said, "Skip the disciples and just yell the sermons." But while he was gathering the crowds, he was building the foundation. So, the crowd means nothing if you don't have the team there in order to continue with the ministry. There was a lovely, I don't know if it's in this outline or the outlines to come, there was where it talks about when they were feeding, he told the disciples to go feed the crowd. They're like, "Oh, I ain't got no money. Yeah, I didn't have enough money to feed this little group here, much less that one." He was teaching them what they need in order, because once he was gone, they had to continue with the ministry. So, the crowd is great, but you got to do what it takes to get to the crowd. And so they'll have this big function, and it looks wonderful, and just, you know, the word glander, I don't think that's a word, but anyway. And then all of a sudden they're not there, and I go, who do you have to follow up? I mean, you got 300 people there. How do you know who came in? You have any predators? You have any people that were there stare that were doing wrong, saying something wrong? You don't know who came in the door, do you? Well, no, we don't really know how to follow up. Well, we had 100 people fill out cards, but there's only about 5 of us. We couldn't get to all 100. Oh, really? So then why did you have that? If you can't go back and follow up with every single person and find out where they are. Strategic and intentional ministry. Every single adult ministry. You need to be strategic in what you do and intentional in what you do. Don't waste God's time. Don't waste your church's time. Don't waste your time. Build it from the ground up. Even if it means it takes 6 months and it's just you and 3 people praying. We just got together. We just started praying, Chris. We don't know where God's going to lead us. We don't know the next direction. We don't know if it's a Bible study. We don't know if it's divorce care. We don't know if it's just a book study. We don't know if it's just first lunch on a Sunday. And that's all we do is lunch on first Sunday of every month. And that's where we don't know. We don't know if it's splitting our Sunday school class. We're just praying. And we're just going to see where God leads it. God will honor that. He'll be built on a foundation so that when the storm comes, you'll be able to stand against it. So as time goes by and you look back, you say, you know what? We prayed for 6 months and God gave us the direction to do this. So that when the junk happens and you built that, maybe you have a book club. It's got somebody in there that shouldn't be in there. Or you got some controversy. It's okay because it's been built on a rock. God said you're going to have that book club. But when you don't build it that way and you just start it, and you're not sure it's what God wants. And then someone comes along that just kind of has a divisive spirit, you know, or complains. Then you just quit. Just can't handle it. You know, God's direction is what gives you. That's how I keep doing what I'm doing. Because, guys, it's tough sometimes doing what I do. I'm on the road all the time. Part of my income is support. Sometimes I don't even know where it's coming from. And the thing that keeps me going is the fact that it's what God wants me to do. And how do I know this? Because I spend time with God. And that propels you. And as you guys do this, you'll be days going, I can't do this anymore. They're driving me crazy. They have too many needs, too many wants. I'm sick of it. I've just built my team. Oh, they don't get married. I got to start all over again. But because God has called you, that'll propel you to keep doing it and keep doing it. But how do you know God's called you? You have to stay connected to Him. It's the only way to do it. You can't do it because it's just, well, I'm good at leading. I'll start a singles ministry. I'm single and I'm good at leading. That's a good reason, right? It's not a good reason. It's going to be because God has placed it on your heart. Reasons. Pastors, leaders get overworked. Pastors, leaders forget to delegate. They forget to wait on God. They don't take time to do the research needed for success. They have no idea what they're doing. They haven't even made a phone call to find out how to even begin. They haven't even done. Nowadays, you've got the internet. You can just type in singles ministry help. I think I might come up somewhere. But LifeWay is now beginning to have the resources it never had before. Morley Maynard is a new head chick. We haven't had anybody doing that in a long time. They've really poured into this one back again. We were at half the numbers last year at this conference. And now the numbers have doubled. But we believe that there's a need to continue to put resources out there. No relationships are formed. No discipleship. Single ministry, you have to continually pour into it. Pour and pour and pour and pour. It's almost a bottomless pit because of the needs that keep changing. One of my pet peeves is single adults who stay in ministry and they never change. Not even in the least bit. You don't see, they don't even help, they don't come, they just come to take and take and take. And those are the ones you have to do tough love and tough light to. And you have to say, you know what, I'm not sure this is really where you need to be, and maybe, you know, we need to talk about some other areas that it might be better for you to serve in. Because it does take a lot from you. But as God pours into you, you can pour into them. Reasons you shouldn't start a singles ministry. To give your singles a social club. Because other churches have one. Because of the need of the want to help our singles get married. That's called eHarmony. Excuse me. Because singles have demanded the leadership. I have to nip that part out of this thing. Because singles have the demand of the leadership in the church to have one. Reasons to start one. to develop an effective outreach in the growing number of single adults in your church and community, to enhance church growth, to help fulfill the Great Commission, to help renew the vision and the purpose of the congregation, to meet the needs of single adults who want spiritual growth, healing opportunities, and social fellowship. Those are the reasons why we started. Because we're part of the great plan. We're part of what God has called all of us to do. And you're a part of that in your church. I mean, if half our country is single, then why isn't our church half single? Because we're not reaching them. We're not doing anything. Now, are we gotten better? We've gotten much better. With divorce care, we've got the 40 up pretty good. I see a large percentage of that has grown. Mostly women. You probably want to know why. We have more women, just like here, than we have men. We find in churches that when you're a family with the kids, that kind of family, and your marriage breaks up, the woman will stay with the children and the man leaves. So then the woman is now, she goes through a divorce, she's in the church, and she decides that she wants to be in ministry, or she decides she wants to start divorce care, and pretty much looks around and that's what's there. Men have a hard time admitting they need God. They have a hard time admitting they need help. Women are like, right there. We ain't a problem. I need help. Jesus, help me. No problem. We can talk about anything, can't we? We can take a lint ball and start talking about it. I mean, you know, discuss lint. I mean, you know, it didn't matter. We don't need a whole lot to help us. We're ready to talk about our problems just like this. And guys, a little bit harder. Just share their heart. So in single adult ministry, I encourage that men mentor men. That men grow other men. We find in ministry that men grow men and women. Men and women grow men and women. But only women grow women. So if you have a ministry that's mostly women and very few men, it's because you have a woman that's leading it. So the way to change that either is say, well, I'm called to minister to women. And it's going to be primarily a singles ministry of women. And guess what? That's okay. Or no, I want to get some men in here. Because some of us might want to get married. Some of us need some parenting for our young guys and young girls because our spouses aren't around. Some of us need some leadership, some encouragement. So I always encourage single adult ministries to start out as being get a male-female co-directors. And then that way, even if the male doesn't do all the things he needs to do, even if he's gets up and just makes announcements and prays, you definitely want to see the two because then it'll help your ministry grow more balanced with male and female. So if some of you are praying about and thinking about starting, try to find a male that will serve with you. And again, his role may start off very, very small, but over time, as he grows in his faith, he'll be able to lead, help co-lead the ministry with you, and then grow other men. You definitely want to encourage male Bible studies to grow more men to come into the ministry. And I would do that before I would jump too far off and go and build this big ministry. Because if you have too many women and the men are just struggling and you hope to get more men, it's going to make it really hard. So if you start off with a couple guys and three ladies, the percentages are more equal, you have a better chance that you're going to have a more balanced ministry. I've been to some churches where it's rare, but it's been the opposite. But that's because maybe a man started it and then eventually went over to a woman to lead it. You know? But most singles ministries are led by women. But they usually are also dominated by women, and they always want to know, how do I change that? So for some of you who are just starting or just beginning, you want to know why, that's the reason why. Is that women only grow women. A few men will come in and serve underneath a woman, but most men want a man to lead them. Yeah.
Where are the men?
I'm talking about, single men don't come to church as a whole. I mean,
that's why you have to have men reach men through golfing, through hunting, through sports, things that they are attracted to, things to build relationship with them, race cars, you know, anything that where they need to have their own Bible studies that they reach out. So their Bible study might be on the golf course. It might be hunting. It might be, hey, let's go kill some deer and talk about Jesus. You know, that may be not the way they phrase it, but they have to build relationships in the way that it fits them. With women, all we need to do is show up and have some muffins and coffee, and we're happy. We don't need a big program for us. We'll just come. But for men, they have their own way of reaching each other. And so you have to stop trying to create it for them and have them create it and figure out ways. There's some great male ministries out there that teach you some methods on how to do that. Yes?
In the class, it varies. Sometimes we have more men, sometimes we have more women. But I found that with men, you actually have to seek them out and invite them. And because they need that invitation. Mm-hmm. Women will seek out these
right.
The men once you invite them, they feel wanted, and then they come, and then they're okay. You know, they join in if they want to join in. They'll, like, one's substituting for me tomorrow.
Right.
But it's the biggest difference I see is that I have to actually seek them in the congregation and invite them.
It's something, too, is that I love it when there's, like, some married Bible studies for men. And then I will go to the married pastor or the married director, leader, whatever, and I will say, will you help me by bringing, specifically, intentionally, bringing in some single guys to help grow them? Because we would love to build more guys up in our singles ministry, but I believe that they need to come here first because they're not quite ready. And we also have to be careful that they don't get one guy comes in and all the women go, you know. And realizing that this guy's not mature yet. This guy doesn't need to be around other single ladies yet. You know, there's some stuff going on in his life, and he needs to get healthy. Same thing with some women need to get healthy before they're in the singles ministry, because it just puts temptation in front of them to have other single adults there when they're not ready to handle that. So they need to go through divorce care. They need to go through Celebrate Recovery and other types of ministries in order to get themselves where they need to be. The same thing with men. So sometimes I'll go to married guys and say, I really need some help. You know, I don't know. I'm not a guy. You know, could you help me? Praying in your small group that we could bring some more single guys in, and maybe, you know, they'll come straight to our ministry, but some of them may need a little bit of male bonding first, and then with the goal of praying that they would come into our ministry, praying that God brings them the right kind. But what happens is some guys will come in and they feel these women just call, attack them, and they don't come back. And so how do we get women not to attack them? Well, we have to build relationships with the women to teach them not to do that. This is not about you finding you a husband. You know, is there not enough ways to find men in this country nowadays? You can find a date quicker today than you ever could in the history of the world. If that's all you care about is getting a date, if you just want to get a date, there's a million ways to meet the opposite sex today than there wasn't 100 years ago. That's not the problem. The problem is to build a relationship. There's a lot of ways to meet them. I want to build relationships, and that takes time, and that's one-on-one. Like you're saying, for you, it's like to go and personally talk to them one-on-one. That takes time. So, you know, granted, some meet by eHarmony, and some meet in the grocery store, and some meet through their kids' PTA, and all kinds of ways we meet. But bottom line is, we have to build a relationship, and it has to start based on Christ. And so that takes a while. And so when guys come in, so a lot of times guys come in and there's no relationship building and it's just this instant thing. So that's why I always encourage that maybe some of the men need to be built separately from the group for a while to get them better prepared. In the meantime, you work with the women and say, listen, this is not what this is about. If all you hear is get hooked up, guess what? There's the world. It's out there. You can get hooked up all day long. You don't need to use the church for that. They're out there. But if you want to meet someone that's going to save your life forever, then you come here and meet him. It's called Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about. I have a problem with women or hoochie mamas, you know, where, like, you know, they want me, you know, the ones that are all kind of, yeah. And they're, you know, they're there to advertise. They're there because, and what does that tell you? When you see a woman dressing that way, what does it say? Some of you ladies know. It's screaming insecurity. It's screaming I've got junk in my life. It's screaming I can't get me a man wearing normal clothes. I got to look like a hoochie mama. You know? And to me, that's not a person I want to get rid of. That's a person I want to love on because something's going on in their life. So sometimes ministry, you have to really allow the Lord to tell you what kind of ministry. Because maybe you want a balanced ministry of male and female. Maybe you want to do retreats and conferences and you want to do book clubs and single parent day and all these wonderful things. Maybe God is saying, get four women that obviously need some help. And they keep repeating the same problems over and over. And they get a reputation in the church. I want to pull those women in and just love on them and find out what's going on in their life. I want to make a difference in their life. That's singles ministry, guys. It's for people. But it's singles ministry. And that's where I'm going to start and let the Lord lead from there. This lady in Memphis has a thing called the Hope House. And she just works with single ladies. And she says, come and stay in my home. You can have a house, you can be a millionaire, I don't care who you are. Come and stay in my home, and I want you to come and rest and relax in Christ. Because as a single lady, things happen to you that don't happen maybe to a married person, and I want you to come and find a place of refuge. And bring your kids if you need to bring your kids, or we'll find a place for your kids to go for a while, but just come and rest. And it's just something that started with one person that she had in her home who just said, can I just stay in your house for a couple of days just to get away. And then she started taking care of her, and she fed her breakfast and had nice towels on her bed. And this person's like, oh my gosh. And this lady said, I thought I did was put a couple towels and made her a muffin in the morning. And she was like this changed person. She says, maybe there's a minister here. And it wasn't geared towards women or homeless. It's not that. It's the ones that are like us, that are working our hinies off, and we're exhausted, and we're tired, and a lot of times in leadership roles, and we're burning out because we're trying to do too much, and we need a place to just stop for a couple days, or maybe a month. She lets people stay a month because they're about to crack, and then they're not going to be good for anybody. She says, come and stay with me. And come and be restored and renewed in Christ. That's a ministry for single adults. Now, maybe not what she had envisioned way back in the beginning, but it's what God, and how does she know? It's because of what God led her to do. So part of today is not that you're going to go back and go, I got it, Chris gave me the plan. One, two, three, we're going to start here, and then by next month, we're going to have that barbecue. And we're going to have, and bring Chris to come and speak the next year, and then we're going to have his conference, and there, yeah, that's great. And if that's where God leads you, praise the Lord, because I do a lot of those. But some of you are going to be 5 years from now, you're going to go, you know, I've ministered to 20 women in 5 years. And guess where those women have gone? And this one over here started a singles ministry. This church, and this one's married, has got three kids. And this one's, she started a women's group here in our church. You know, you're going to be amazed as you pour into a few what God can do with those women and those guys. Sure.
Our group had a plan for co-directors and suggested that.
Uh-huh.
But the church staff flat out said, no, we don't want to.
Because they're afraid you were going to, like, get together?
No.
That happens.
Their thing was, we want one point person. We want one person to go to. We don't want to split.
Well, you can have call me.
I don't think they wanted a male to be leader. And I really had an issue
with that. Oh, that's
way,
gosh.
Around that. So,
yeah.
I mean, listening to you say, I'm like,
yeah, well, tell them. Say, just tell them they can. They say, well, listen, I went and heard an expert, who, and she goes around the country. And statistically, I have been everywhere, and I have talked to many groups, and we find that you know, there are occasional women that have an incredible bonding to men and can really grow men. But we have found statistically, it really needs to be a male female, so the men can reach the men and the women can reach women. Can there be a word of knowledge from a guy to a girl and a girl to a guy? Of course. I mean, you know, I teach all the time, and guys glean and get fruit out of it and whatever. But when you get at the core, you get to some detailed stuff, a guy needs to mentor a guy. I'm just sorry. And so now most churches will argue.
I thought that was the best plan.
Yeah. Most churches, it's a programming issue for them, not a biblical issue. To them, they're just thinking, oh, God, now I'm going to keep up with two people instead of one person, and that's frustrating. And so, but we can talk more later, too, about that. Did you have a question?
Jack and I are married. But he was in singles ministry in a larger town, divorced recovery home. And then when we got married, which we did not meet in divorce recovery, we met through a friend who, they were involved in divorce recovery as leaders. Let me clarify that. But anyway, I just found a good man. I went for it. But we've been married for 6 years in a Sunday school class. Just staring at him. And we, you know, felt very led to work with singles, and it's like in our church, which our church, our Sunday school is just like recently had like over 400 people, you know, and we're really growing. But it's like nobody wants to be anybody single, you know, the stuff you've already told us. And we have felt very, at times, we could feel very rejected because, like you say, well, people come in and out, you know. And we are about to get a core group to work with us. And we feel like, looking back, I do, and I think Jack does, that we've ministered to a lot of people.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that it's probably, in a way, a thankless job, and in a way, it doesn't look like anything to other people.
Right.
You know. But we have a core group. In fact, three people that came with us, you know. But I'm sensing this, you know, if we don't do the big barbecue thing,
yeah,
stuff,
it's not success.
Group, one of the core groups, especially, is going to think, you know, this is not happening.
Right.
You know, so we're about to deal with some real change in our stuff.
Right.
And we just want to be where we're supposed to be for some
Right. Well, a lot of it's patience, takes time, and then also you have to say, listen, if singles don't need us to plan their social calendar. Okay, people will get together who want to get together. We, you know, social is the wreath you put on the door after the house is built. You don't need it for singles ministry. If they just want to hang out and get together, tell them to go hang out and get together. But what you tell them, that when we do a barbecue, it's called strategic fellowship. And what it means is that whoever comes in from the outside, we need to have a plan of how to minister to them. So if we do this big event and 100 people come, we need to have at least 15 people on a team of leaders to minister to those people who come. So we have to follow, we have to minister while they're there, know that who's there, watch who's there. We have to have a crew to do the event, to market the event. And we have to have a crew in order to follow up. And are all you ready to lead people to Christ? Are all of you know how to do the steps of salvation and can lead someone and counsel them? No. There's only three of us. Exactly. So we can't put on a big event because we're not going to strategically do it. And if it's just a matter of a social, guess what? The church has got about 10 planned this month. Just jump in.
But you know, I find that socializing with each other is a big part of the singles ministry, because there's some people in the classroom that don't talk. You know, that's just not.
But that's what I'm saying. It's called strategic fellowship.
Right. To communicate with them.
We've got some that don't particularly care to come to a smaller group and feel like they're in the spotlight. Oh, I'm single in a small group. So if we have a barbecue or a social event like that, they'll come because they can blend in at first.
As long as you have...
come afterwards.
As long as you have people in there that can monitor what's coming in the door, because you'll have some predators. You'll have people that are only for themselves. People asking girls phone numbers, vice versa, and then others won't come back. There's always going to be those. So if you have a team that's kind of ready, so to the world, it looks like you're having another barbecue. Woohoo! They think it's a big social event. But you know, it's an outreach. They don't know it's an outreach. That's the difference. So sometimes...
But I'm most concerned, and I guess I'm just struggling with expressing. I'm having some anxiety about confronting this issue.
Sure.
But there have been times where there would only be Jack and one guy in the Sunday school class.
Yeah.
I mean, and it would be interesting because it would be exciting where that guy needed to talk to just Jack.
Sure.
As a way of setting things up, if you've been a very small group, you would have two or three or many times.
We're excited when we have eight.
Yeah.
There's times when that happens, it's because there is a need.
Of course. Right.
It's a time when somebody needs a one-on-one. I've got this problem and I need somebody up in here.
Right.
And it's just something
like
they need to talk
about. Sure. And that's ministry, that's what I'm saying. We have to be careful, because for some, it is going to be. God is preparing you to have a 300-person ministry. And so He's putting the things in place for that to happen. And in some of you, it's never going to be more than one or two people. Don't let the world tell you, or the church tell you, what ministry is. That's ministry. Look at what Jesus did. Let Him be your example. Where are we on time? Because we still have so much to cover. What time do we end?
9:45.
Let me keep going. If we have time at the end to answer some questions, and I'm here the whole weekend, so I'll talk to any of you by yourself, and I know this is important to you. So let's just graze through the rest of it, and then we'll leave some time at the end to ask questions and talk about some of the issues, and maybe help each other who've gone through some of the same things and can encourage each other. Okay, three things to start a singles ministry. Very important: prayer, support from your staff, and opportunities to disciple. First one, consistent prayer. I encourage people to pray on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. I don't care who you have to grab for 5 minutes, grab anybody, so that every single Sunday, it can be every Friday, it can be every Tuesday, but you're there already, so that's the good time to do it. Every Sunday, be praying, not the prayer that you're praying for your cousin and your uncle and your house and your dog and all that. I'm talking about the prayer for the ministry. Who's coming in that Sunday? What is the teacher going to be teaching on? And if you do consistent weekly prayer, keep a journal to see what God is doing, to see if He's answering your prayers. Lord, we really want to grow the Sunday school class. We really want to reach the younger. We got a lot of old people. We want to reach the younger ones. Or, Lord, we really want to start a divorce care ministry or a single parent ministry. Help us to get there. Bring in a leader. We don't have any leaders. As you sit to pray in a journal, you're going to see God direct you. If you don't journal it, you can be like, well, I don't know what we're praying for this week, you know. I don't remember what God told us to do. So that's important to me. And that way, because at the first place, if prayer's gone, there's no ministry. It has to be built on a relationship with God. So we leave prayer out, and it happens so easily. I had one church say to me, well, they took our room away that we did our prayer. Okay, why don't you go in the hallway? Well, we can't. It's too noisy. Go in the pastor's office. But he didn't want anybody in his office. Go into the children's department. Well, the children were in the children's department. Go into the bathroom. Can't go into the bathroom. Go into a hall closet. Wait, we don't go fit in the hall closet. I said, well, go outside. Go into someone's car. Don't tell me you can't pray. Break into groups of twos and go anywhere in the church. Just make sure that you're praying every Sunday. I said, how's your singles ministry going? Well, exactly. Because you keep prayer, you may never be more than two or three people. And that's okay, because that's where God has at least directed you and has affirmed you that you are making a difference in the lives of single adults. But without that prayer, you don't have any affirmation at all. Because you can also get big and it'd be all based on social, and there's no real people getting to Christ.
When I got first started in the divorce recovery ministry, I took our singles ministry after a rich breast retreat, which was on the laity to be involved in ministry. And I said, if we start a divorce recovery and we only have one person go through it, it's worth whatever effort it takes
to
meet that one person's need.
As Christ says, if you're the only one, I'd still die for you.
Yes.
If you're the only one, I'd still die for you. Okay, second is pastoral support. And this is what I mean by that. I'm not talking about just a pat on the back. Well, go for it. You know, good luck with that. You know, and it happens all the time. I can't tell you how many of us will go to our pastors and say, Pastor, we want to start this. We hear either two things like, well, who are you again? Or you want to, oh, a singles ministry. That's that young thing where all people get hooked up, right? Or they don't understand what it is. And so they're like, well, we'll talk about it. Or they'll say, yeah, sure, go for it. Go for it. Neither one of those are what I'm talking about. Now, in the beginning, you might not get what you want. But there's a way to do it. And it says here, on my website, I wrote an article that's this long, that I cannot say all of it right here. And how do you approach your pastor of starting a singles ministry? There's a strategic way to do it that will produce fruit. And if it doesn't, if you do the things that I'm telling you to do, and it doesn't give you the answer that you want, you'll know it's God-based and not, you know, where my pet peeves is for people asking pastors questions like, you know, I started singles ministry on Sunday. Well, that's when I saw them. Well, I'm going to tell you, for someone who teaches, the last thing I want to hear after teaching three sermons on a Sunday morning would be somebody want me to talk about singles ministry and the planning of it. Your brain is fried, but we do it all the time. And then we get mad when he doesn't respond the way we want him to respond. There is a strategic way to do it. Now, in the beginning, you might not get the support, but if you read the article, it talks about how you have to start building a core group and start doing prayer and start doing some planning and doing a survey and doing a demographic study and doing the resources and doing all the research. And you prepare all that, and then you set up an appointment, and then you go and meet with him. And that may be 6 months. So in the beginning, you've got prayer. You might not have all the pastor support that you need in the beginning. You might have to build into that. You might have to show them what you're doing for them to say, how long have you been doing this? We've been praying for 6 months. We've got a core group of five people. Mm-hmm. We've gone to this conference. We've got these folks. We've done some research. We've talked to some people. Wow. You're serious about this, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Well, God's called us to do it. You know, I mean, we're called to do it. It's just a matter of you, Pastor. Just let us know when we can go ahead and announce the church. If I was a pastor, I'd be like, woohoo! I mean, look at what these people have done. If everybody would do this in my church, man, what an incredible ministry we'd have here. Third is discipleship, the ability to train. If you don't have a way to get training, if you don't have a way to train the core group, your leaders, in order to be able to be the leaders, how do you grow? So many people start off with five or six people in their core group that are their buddies. I've got five or six. I can rely on them. Is that your core group? Yeah, they're there every Sunday. That's your core group. Yeah, they show up every Sunday. That's my core group. Okay, you don't hear what I'm saying. Your core group is your leadership. People who just show up is not leadership. Those are just people who show up. There's a difference. I'm talking about people who feel called to be leaders. Not people who come in and take the trash out. Not people who come in and set up the hospitality. But people who are called to be leaders. Leaders mean they're going to, they have the ability to go out and build other leaders. Oh no, we don't have any of those. Okay. Well, then maybe we need to start there and build leaders. That may take a little while. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about they got to be exactly like you. But if you have a core group of five people who can never talk to another living soul about God, that's not really a core group. That's just some faithful people that come. So it might be your ministry's a little smaller. It may be that it's not going to be where you think it's going to be for a while. But that's okay. But it's really hard to grow ministry when you don't have the ability to train them, or they don't have any way to get training themselves. Your church doesn't offer, now sometimes churches offer great discipleship programs, accountability programs, mentoring programs, and they can get some of their training that way. But as long as they, you know what I'm talking about, and some of you are those leaders. You feel called, you see the vision that God has set forth to you. If you get, if you start talking to somebody, you're like, where does God lead you? And they're like, to get something to eat, you know, I mean, you know, like if they don't have a vision of anywhere where God is leading them, how do they then cast that to someone else? How do they begin to lead someone else? They may not have the same personality you do. Thank God they don't. We're going to talk about it in the second hour. You're going to have every kind of person you can think of on your team. Every kind of person. And so please don't try to go out and duplicate yourself. Duplicate someone that has a passion, likes to invest in others, and has a vision for what God has set forth them. But they're going to be different than you, and it's okay. And they may do things different than you, and it's okay. Unify in the vision that God has set forth for the church. I mean, your purpose needs to be the same purpose as the church's purpose. And you have to unify in that your goal is to reach singles for Christ. But you might have a little bit different ways of doing it. And you have to love on each other and accept that you may not know it all. And they may have a different way that might create a different result. But ultimately, your goal is to reach singles for Christ.
Different.
Yeah.
They'll be different.
Yeah.
That's why you need different.
Yeah. So you don't want 10 of you. Because then you're only going to get 10 one direction from 10 of you. So, but it's when you have 10 people and they all have different directions that don't align up, then you have some issues and some problems. And that's why I prefer to start small and build. And then as God calls us all together to work together. Just like the church's mission. I mean, you're supposed to all be agreeing with that, right? But look at how many different ministries are in a church in order to reach that goal. Singles ministry is just a gateway, guys. Singles ministry is another gateway to reach a certain demographic group of people that the church is not reaching in other ways. We are not the end. It's not the stopping. Well, I'm in singles ministry, is it? Found my place. After 2 years, if you're not serving in some capacity, taking out the trash, serving punch, or teaching, go. This is not the end. This is just an opening to get you into the rest of the church. My goal is to get you into the rest of the church. Because married people need to see what single people are. And single people need to see what married people are. And if the majority of single people want to be married, then who do you need to be around? Just single people? No. If you wanted to see what a healthy marriage looks like so you can have one, maybe you should be around some married people. And if married people are going to continue to pour in resources into us, and designate funds and support singles ministries and so on and so forth, then don't they need to see what we look like? That we don't have, you know, cooties? Right? But we can't do that if we keep ourselves separated. Now some churches will say, well, yeah, we ain't going to separate our singles. No, we're going to let them all blend together and they can just work. We're all the same body. That's great. But we do have some needs that you cannot address as a whole. That's why we have youth ministry. That's why we have women's ministry. That's why we have the old ladies ministry down, you know. That's why we have the quilting group and all these other things. It's because it's another way that we're reaching a group of people. Scrapbooking. I know some of you are diehards. You stay up all night scrapbooking. I just as soon go have a root canal, right? But I'm going to tell you what. It's the hen party of the world. Wait a minute. I have never in my life seen more women come together and minister to each other. And most of the women are women that stay home. They don't get out much. They have a lot of cats sometimes. They're couch potatoes. They don't talk much. But I'm going to tell you what. They are ministering to each other in ways that blows me away. It's like, thank you, Lord. Because a lot of these women were not getting out. They're not good at big groups. They're not good. They don't feel comfortable. They don't feel like they're accepted. They don't like the way they look. And it ain't changing tomorrow. But wow, they get there and they feel valued. They feel accepted. Singles ministry. Everyone should feel safe and valued and loved. But not everybody's going to fit in that gateway. Before any church undertakes a single adult ministry, several basic steps must be taken. First, you got to pray alone, then talk to and pray with the church leadership and staff. You got to gather data, needs, interests, demographics, existing ministries. What's out there? What else are people doing? Don't duplicate something someone may be doing down the road. You want to do divorce care, but there's a church 2 miles from you that's doing it really, really well? to support what they're doing, and you start something else. There's no sense in duplicating the same thing when it's 2 miles away from each other. Especially if you can build a relationship with the leader of that singles ministry, and you guys could do some things together, because you're going to need support. Because I'll tell you what, as a leader, you can only talk but so much to your singles. Because if you tell them too much of your junk, then they don't respect you anymore. You got to be really careful. It's like a management position. You got to draw that line. So then you're going to need each other. You're going to need to find out who else is in the community. Who else are the other pastors? Are there some pastors? Can you have coffee, lunch? Can you get together and do training every once in a while? I'm going to be up in Johnson City in October. I found out a few people are from this area, live up there. And this one chick, she's a part of a mega church. She has resources, and they got 500 singles coming. Her heart is breaking for all the little churches in that area. They don't have anything. And she knows they can't be her. Their churches don't have the resources to be her. But yet, she doesn't want them coming to her church, but she sees them coming to her church. And she says, why isn't their ministry at their church? Why do they keep coming to our stuff? She goes, it breaks her heart because she doesn't want them to leave their church. She goes, Chris, maybe I could put together a big leadership conference to help them grow their ministries. So she's hiring me and paying for the whole thing to help them. Isn't that powerful? That is amazing. So it's like you may be in your particular area as far as when you go out and start networking, you may find out there's so many things that are going on out there that you don't have to do yourself. You can network with them. Celebrate Recovery is a great program. Great program. Same kind of thing. It's like if it's being offered and a couple single adults need it, send them there. Hopefully they'll come back. But build ministry where you have, and then utilize what else is in the area. But you're not going to know that if you don't get on the phone and start calling people and find out what's out there. If my website, I list all the churches that I know of so far in the country have singles ministry, divorce, Sunday school, or regular singles ministry. I have them listed on my website. That's a good place to start. I don't have them all. I've got at least one in every state. Some I've got 50 in states. But it's a good place to start. Make phone calls to the churches. I just talked about that. Develop a written statement, purpose, and goals for your single ministry. And this will more likely change. As you build your core group and start praying, you're like, you know, that ain't going to work. Enlist and train a leadership core group, your church's help and approval. Of course, it may change as well. Whatever you start off with, 6 months from now may be a totally different group. You may start off with some married people because you can't find any single people that are mature enough to be in a core group. Start with married people that understand the vision because they've been in many ministries. Start praying with the ultimate goal. They're not going to serve in your ministry. They don't want to serve in your ministry, but they'll pray with you because they have a heart for it. So I would start there and then just ask God to bring other leaders in that would be on it. Determine what budgets are available and facility needs, scheduling, communicate through publicity and promote specifics of your new ministry. Start a database with your TV, radio. Find out all the places you can advertise. Keep a list of that so that when you start promoting, you'll know who to call and contact. Patience, remember who's in charge. We must, in our enthusiasm, be sensitive to God's timing and His will. In the long run, it's better to take time to develop good relationships and accountability than to rush and have to redevelop or reconcile misunderstandings. Ensure that your leaders believe as you do and as your church does. I can't emphasize that enough. Do not assume that they go to your church and they've been in 12 Bible studies with you, that they believe what you believe spiritually. I have made the mistake in the past where I have put people as in charge of singles ministries or small groups and find out that they did not believe in the Trinity or they had problems with women or so on and so forth. I've seen every variable of that and I just assumed you're in my church, you're in Bible studies with me, we believe the same. No. Be very careful who you put in charge because God will hold you accountable to that and who you put in place of authority. Stay open to God's continuing leadership. Ministries should change its needs and methods. It's going to change. And what you think works now may not work next year. You may get all women this year. Next year you get all men. You may get all 30-somethings. The next year it's 50-somethings. You don't know. As God continues to change, stay fluid. I love the word fluid because it just keeps things, keeps flowing, keep moving. How are we on time? 9:30. You now have the approval and the support of your pastor. You have a few on board. You started praying. Now what? You can start a single adult Sunday school, discussing life issues, Bible study, first Sunday lunch. These are just some ideas. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. this leaves us some time to start discussing some specifics and questions that you might have. I just need 5 minutes for the last little part that we want to do so we can talk for about 10 minutes and maybe come back to some of the things we're talking about. And I want to, again, affirm the ministry and the work that you guys are doing and the fact that ministry sometimes is one-on-one. Discipleship is one-on-one. You can discipleship as a whole, but one-on-one. In a single adult ministry, you guys may start off and that is where God's got you going. And that's okay. And at the same time, God may call you to something even larger. But without the prayer, without pastor support and church support, I want my pastor to know what I'm doing. I want to go to my pastor and tell him not only the things that I'm struggling with in my ministry, but also the things that are going well. I want a relationship with the finance. If we got a pastor search committee, I want a single adult on that committee. I want a single adult in the finance part of our church. A single adult as a deacon, if your church allows singles to do that. I want our single adults to be serving in all parts of the church because I want the church to support what I'm doing. I want the church to understand. I want our greeters to know who the single adults are. I greeted in my church for 7 years with this guy named Furman Brannon. And Furman was an old guy humped over like this, you know. And I said, Furman, what you doing out here? He says, well, I'm greeting. I said, greeting? We got a greeting committee? Because, you know, Baptist, you got to have a greeting committee, right? He said, no, we ain't got a greeting committee. We got some ushers, but they're not doing that good of a job. They're just kind of handing out bulletins and their little suits, handing out bulletins. He says, I just feel like you need to take it to the next level.
You know, Furman.
All right, Furman. Well, what's the next level, Furman? He goes, well, I stand out front. Sometimes in the winter it's a little cold. And it rains, I got to go in because of my bones, you know. But I stand out here and catch them on the way in. You see some on the way out. He says, and sometimes you see some leaving early and some are getting late. He says, and you begin to build relationships with them because you see them every Sunday. You see the ones that are sad and the ones that are hurting. He says, you see the ones that come without their spouse week after week after week. You say, why don't you have your wife and your husband not with you? I can't get them to come. Furman says, it's an opportunity to pray. I see some that don't go to Sunday school, so nobody knows their prayer needs. So I ask them their prayer needs. I see some that just need to be hugged. I said, well, can I do it with you? Can I greet with you? He said, yeah. He said, well, you get the young ones and the women, and I get the old ones and the men. And I started to see Furman do things. You get a family that would come in, maybe a mom or a dad with the kids, or maybe a single parent, and he'd go and he'd sit with them, talk to them, get to know them. Sometimes he'd walk them back to their classroom so they knew where to go. I was very sensitive to single adults, and so I was like, I'm always looking at rings, you know. And they always love that question, you single? And a lot of the guys are like, yeah. I'm like, I ain't looking. I just, you know, we had a great singles ministry. That text, you know. And I get their email, their phone number, because, you know, they ain't going to, you know, come unless you follow up with them, right? And then I go and I sit them with someone else in the church that understood they needed to minister to that person. And as time went on and Furman's married and I'm single, we begin to minister and begin to see the balance of our church change. We begin to see more single adults there, more single parent families there because they felt welcomed and valued. And I would never know the impact it would have on people's lives until years go by and people say, I came because you loved on me when I first started coming to this church. I came here for 6 months and nobody said nothing to me except for you and that other guy out front. I felt valued as a single adult because you made me feel welcome in a church that's 90% married people with kids. So that's where I caught him on the beginning. And I began to see just what God was doing and how we can affect people and the lives that we can affect them, how we can affect their lives. So what is single adult ministry? Is it this big mega thing? Sure. But it's also greeting people at the front door that nobody else is going to give a bulletin. I want to tell you what, in your church, you probably have no idea how many single adults visit on Sunday. But they never tell anybody. They just come in, they look, they wait to hear a sermon, and if anybody cares, they don't come back. Yes?
Just start the relationship building. It was a shock to me to find out how many people were in our church, in the sanctuary, that were not connected anywhere that were single.
Yeah.
I was like, we have how many? Oh my gosh. So, I mean, I thought, well, it's a small group. There's not many singles here. And then when I started learning things, I was like, wow. So, I mean, you've got a purpose to seek the, you know, pray to show them.
Right. And this thing, let me touch base on it. Some people say, we can't get the singles in our church to come and be a part of the ministry. Well, if they're serving and do what God's called them to do, leave them. They're at the end. They've gone through the gate, and they're doing what God's called them to do. Now, the ones who are not doing nothing,
well, they come and they listen and they leave.
Yeah. Well, that's
right.
But you have to have build individual relationships with those people. You have to get to know them, find out why. Because what's happened is people just come and then they leave. There's something going on that's made them do that. So you can't just get up and make an announcement and fuss at people. You have to then go, well, you know what, Bob, can I talk to you for a few minutes after church? Well, yeah, sure. Bob, I noticed you came into our singles gathering we had the other night. What'd you think about it? Well, it was all right. I noticed you got up and left. I hadn't seen you back in a while. We'd love to have you come and you come to find out his mother died. Come to find out, you know, his kids, he's in a custody case with his kids, and somebody in the sermon of that singles thing mentioned children, and he just lost it, couldn't come back. We have no idea. But some are just lazy, self-focused, self-centered, sinning like crazy, all about themselves, and they're there for just the flesh. And I don't care who you are, you can build a relationship with cows come home, and it isn't going to change. But most people, they're coming there to get a need met, and when the need's not met, in their mind, they don't come back. And so we have to find out by building a relationship with them in order to hopefully reach them. Yes?
We have little flyers. We're called Living Singles. And we have little flyers. And if any of us see another single in the church or out of the church, then we can just share that flyer and give them an invitation to come. And that's brought in all of them.
Take all the new information that people have and go out and visit. Because all the singles, you know, that's just visited gets given to our group.
Right. It definitely is. Yeah, anybody new, you can obviously visit whatever. But existing, we got a lot of churches that have a ton of singles that some are involved in other ministries, and they don't need to come back unless they're coming back to lead. I've actually gone to singles who were like in choir that were really busy in choir or really busy in an outreach program and said, you'd be awesome as our Sunday school teacher. Would you pray about dropping this, you know, sending this ministry down and coming and being a part of our ministry? I've done that. But if they're involved in doing what God's called them to do, I don't try to bring them back. I pray God to bring new ones up, you know. But there are a lot of singles that are just kind of in church and not doing anything, just like there are a lot of married people that are in church not doing anything. And so the challenge is the same for married as it is for single, is get people to stop thinking of themselves.
One issue that you might be dealing with is you have people who come in who want to be active, and the more you hear, you realize they may not be even saved.
Yeah.
But you know, likewise, in church we have that with
everywhere.
Is even preachers saved? You know?
Yeah.
But we've been blessed. We've had some people who are really interested in things. One, you know, a new Christian, and so she's been on fire. She's going to be one of our really outreach people. And so she goes to the church and office and asks for a list of all the singles. It's on visitation night, which I visit, but I've had the habit of, I visit whoever I'm hoping to visit.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't been focused on singles. So we're changing that, though. And that she, it's so funny, because the list she gets,
half of them were dead or moved or married.
I've been in the community forever. You know, it's almost like I know everybody. And, can be good and bad. I just went down that list. I've told them where they lived, how many children they have,
wow,
how many they've been married,
wow,
what town, how many states where they live in, you know. And they're on our list identified as single.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I tell people, start when you do a database in your church, start with someone who's been there a long time and go through every single person. You'll find that some are dead, some have moved, some have got married, and eliminate all those and then really look at your list and go, okay, now looking at this list, by the way, I have a free How to Start Singles Ministry on the website. It's a much more extended, you know, yeah, okay. But when you narrow it down and you look at really what you have, you find out, well, gosh, there's 20 people here. I don't even know who they are. And that's what I did my church. When I first started going to this, my old church, 12 years, they asked me, would I do that? So I started calling these people, and they didn't know who I was. I didn't know who they were. A lot of them were children of people that were members. And so that was hard to just randomly call people who hadn't been in church in 10 years, in 15 years. And so I decided, maybe I should build it with what I got versus what I don't got. And then maybe once I got something, then I can call these people up and say, hey, come back, we got something. But it was just really hard. But what they had done is given me this list, and it was so out of date and disorganized. And so out of all those people that was on the list, was really just a handful that were actively coming somewhat, that were really where I could start. Instead of calling 130 people who I didn't know who they were, where they were in their lives, I'd rather start with, the ones that I felt were kind of coming and start talking to them about ministry. And, and not everybody, I'll tell you guys, not everybody who's single wants to be reminded they're single. Some, that's a bad word to them. And so I just kind of let them go. It's all right. We ain't going to make you single. I was in one church where we had t-shirts that said single, and the women didn't want to wear them because it was like a big sign that says, I'm lonely, I need a man. And they go, I don't need a man. And I said, but I'm looking at it differently. My scope is different. She goes, because you're not married. You've never been married. She says, but for us, it means something different. It's a represents a loss. It's like, so it's like, wow, okay, so we're going to work around this. But again, remember what I told you? When the storms come, if the foundation's right, I knew I was called to have singles ministry. So maybe I can't have t-shirts the way I want them. Fine. Maybe we got to call it something else, instead of calling it Singles United in Christ. Or I had SURF, Singles United in Righteous Fellowship. They're like, we don't want nothing with the word single in the title. I'm like, okay. So what I had to do is I had to come up with a name that was just like a fun name that didn't have singles in the title. And then I had a subtitle that said, single, never married, whatever, in order to identify our audience, but they didn't want the main name. I don't care. I don't care. Trivial to me. Trivial. God's called me. It's going to be built. If I've got a, it's going to be built. What's your time?
Time.
Okay. Everybody get up, get your candles. This weekend we're doing the different... This weekend we're doing the different... flames. And if you look on the scripture, can you read that for me, Doris?
Sure. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning by me. God turns my darkness into light. Psalm 18:28.
I look at single adult ministry like a lighthouse. And we talked about a lighthouse last night. It was kind of ironic because it's what I was going to talk about this morning. I had this great book. This is a North Carolina book that I had just found at my house called Our State, which talks about our lighthouses. We have so many beautiful lighthouses in North Carolina. And just what is a lighthouse and what does it do? The fact that it does give direction. It gives hope. It gives purpose. It gives encouragement. It helps people out to see they don't know where they're going. Every lighthouse is different for a reason. Because of it, it helps a ship know what part of the country it's in. We're all different. A lighthouse has that one light that's so important that saves lives and gives direction, like us. But we're all like individuals, like we're individual candles. Like we're all, God has given each one of us a call, a mission, and each one of us are going to have a light in a minute that represents the Holy Spirit living in us, right? But you're also going to find out, and as we start this, I want you to turn the lights on. And as you light the next, we'll get a little bit of light in here. And we'll, for time's sake, we'll start over here too. I think it's enough. Yep, you can turn it off. Your eyes will focus here. As you notice, kumbaya, we as individuals only have so much power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, but when we come together as a team, we come together and network, we come together and encourage each other and love on each other and support each other, the power that we can have. I don't know if you know this, in some flashlights that you buy, big flashlights, it says on the side, 100 candle power. Because back in the old days, before there was electricity, how many candles came together was the power that those candles had in order to project light. I'm going to try this little experiment. I don't know if it's going to work very good, but I'll say, you just kind of laugh at me. But the idea that all individually, great, we can light up to a degree, the room, to a degree. But as we come together, keep going. Wow. because we need more power. We need the power, right? So as the light comes together and gets focused, like a lighthouse. Now this light's going to be, you start to see. Do you see Jesus? Do you see him?
Yes.
Because as we focus and we get the right purpose, then we can help each other and grow in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, you're an amazing God. You're a God of ideas, a God of singles ministry, a God of single adults. You know each person's heart here and what they want to do. But which way to go, which direction, and who you're going to bring in their path to help them, only you know, Lord. Lord, I pray for each person here. I pray for what they're embarking on, what they're in the middle of, what direction they're going to go. I pray, Lord, that you guide them and show them and put the people around them so that it's not about by themselves. They cannot do it by themselves. They're going to need their church. They're going to need their friends. They're going to need family. They're going to need other single adults, pastors, to help them with this journey. Lord, you never meant for any of us to be by ourselves. So let's not start today. Let's start today by being a team. Help us, Lord, to do your ministry. Help us to reach single adults out there. You love us and have a plan for us just like every married adult. Your word has so many single adults that did incredible things for you, Lord. Help each one of us to be that light. But knowing that the strength comes from you. And as we come together and we focus that light, we can reach so many for you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And blow it out. Ooh, smells like a birthday cake. The alarm system goes off, the water. Then we're...
And you can take...
Somebody's going to burn my hair.
And you can take them with you. You can have those in... This is the Bible study that I did, and I'll tell you why I did this one. You know, I'm not promoting this to get rich by it, because you don't have the whole $7. But Dick Purnell, in a bunch of books, came to me and said, Chris, would you be interested in writing a Bible study with me? And I was like, well, I'll think about it. Dumb, sure. And because he's written so many, and I was like, Lord, what are you doing? I'm not really a writer. And this is a Bible study, so it's not so much writing. But I've been doing lots of writing. And I'm just amazed at what God has equipped me, because in school, I was like the worst. I mean, like I was like A over F, A for content, F for grammar, you know. Thank God for editors. And but this is about all kinds of relationships, friendships, sibling, work relationships. Romance is only a little teen part, like two chapters about that. Because we have a lot of that out there. We got a lot of books on how to find the one and how to keep the one. But there's nothing on just the basics of relationships, and that's why I wrote it. And I designed it to where you can do it as a small group. And it's called a 31-day experiment. You can do it by yourself for 30 days, or you can do a small group for 8 weeks, or you can do 31 days for 31 Sundays if you need any Sunday material. The whole goal, you may have to add some meat to it. The applications on some of these are a little bit more lengthy because it's real simple. But it's designed for the seeker as well as those who've been in Christ for a while. And however much you put into it is what they're going to get out of it. But I did this because there's just nothing out there. I got tired of looking for stuff that wasn't out there. So, but that's at my table. And Sandra, who came in real quick earlier, she's my helper, and so she'll help you. And thank her for me, because she does this for free for me and comes to different conferences that I do and just helps me. And that's her heart as a servant. She's a single adult director of Sunday school as a layperson at her church in Columbia, South Carolina. She does that for free, which most of all of us do for free, but you know, she's a heart for singles. So anything else? Those of you who are going to stay for the second hour? If you want to, those of you who have somewhere to go, that's fine. And let me know. I have extra handouts. If you can't go stay for the second hour, I'd be happy to give you one of the handouts. Sure.
Can I have an extra handout for this session?
Sure. Just take one. That's on the seats.
Okay.
You can keep the candle if you want. It's up to you.
I'm just going to let you keep it because
that was good. Where are you from?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, this is down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't taught in Greenville, but there's a good friend of mine named Ernest Jefferson, who is, I guess I can turn this off.